And so even though I'm under the weather, I'm still going to preach. If you will, stand with me in honor of God's word. I want to read one verse, okay? So it'll be very short. One verse out of John, verse 29. John 1, 29. The next day, he saw Jesus, that's John, coming to him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Now I want to ask you a question. Do you really believe that? Do you believe that Jesus took away the sins of the world? Now he said he did. How about you? Do you believe that? Okay. How about you? Do you believe that? Do all of you believe that? Well, at least most of you. You believe that he took away the sins of all the world? What an awesome thing that could be done. How could one man do that? But he did, didn't he? I believe it too, that he took away the entire sin of the entire world. What an awesome God that has to be. What an awesome God that has to be able to do that. Let's go on, okay? Turn, if you will, to Psalms 103. Or you can be seated, I'm sorry. Be seated. Psalms 103, a psalm, of course, written by David. In verse 13, "For you formed my..." No, I'm in the wrong. I'm in 130. I'm going to that later. I turned the wrong one. 103, beginning at verse 8. "The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins. He rewarded us according to, or nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness toward us who fear him." Verse 12, "As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." Now, another question. Do you believe that? Amen. How far is the east from the west? Can they ever meet?
No.
They can never meet, can they? So what's he say he's doing? He will never, never, never remember our sins again against us, will he?
Amen.
That's the awesome God that we serve. A God that will forgive us from our sins and then never remember them again. And you all say you believe that. Is that right? Well, I believe that too, okay? And so I can say amen. Okay, let's go on. Turn, if you will, to John 5, 24. In John 5, verse 24... this is Jesus speaking. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment," and does not come into judgment, "but has passed out of death into life." Do you believe that?
Amen.
That's exactly what Jesus said, didn't he? So you have to believe it. If you don't believe it, then you don't believe the word, and you don't believe God, and you don't believe Christ. So you have to believe it because he said it. Okay, let's go on a little bit further. Turn, if you will, to a kind of a strange passage for this message. Exodus 32. Way back in your Old Testament. Now, this is a passage concerning Moses. The children of Israel had just worshipped a golden calf, and God was very angry at them, okay? Very angry. And so Moses, in fact, God said, I'm going to wipe them all out and start with you. And Moses says, wait a minute, God. No, don't do that. And so in verse 31, let's pick it up at verse 31. Then Moses returned to the Lord and said, alas, the people has committed a great sin, and they have made a god of gold for themselves. But now, if you will forgive their sin, and if not, please blot me out of your book which you have written. Moses, you know what Moses was willing to do? Moses said, I'm willing to spend time in the rest of my existence in hell if you'll forgive those people. You talk about love. Now that is really a fantastic love. But that was who Moses was. Now God told him, of course, I can't do that. He said, I can't do that. I only blot out the one who sinned. I can't blot out your name. But Moses was willing, and he pleaded with God on their behalf. And you know what? God heard him. God heard his cry, and he didn't do what he thought was he was planning to do. That's pretty neat. But it talks about, even way back here in the Old Testament, the book of life. And that's what it has to be. Okay, now turn, if you will, to Daniel. Another passage. A strange passage. But you'll see how it all ties together. Daniel 7. Let me pick it up at verse 9. He says, I kept looking until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. Who's the Ancient of Days? You know who the Ancient of Days is? That's Christ. That's Christ. And if you look at the description given in chapter 1 of Revelation, it's the same exactly, same words, same description. Okay, he's called the Ancient of Days. His vesture was like white snow, and his hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames. His wheels were as burning fire. A river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands were attending him, and myriads upon myriads were standing before him. And the court was set, and the books, plural, and the books were open. Okay? So we know there's at least one book, and then there's other books in heaven, isn't it? I had never thought about God having a library, but apparently in heaven there must be a library, because it's going to take a lot of books, okay? There'll have to be a lot of books in heaven, and we know that the Bible, at least, is one that is going to be there. It said it never will pass away, and so it will be there. So apparently God has a library, and that's what the indication is here. Okay, with that, then turn to Revelation chapter 20, beginning at verse 11, because we're going to look at this judgment called the judgment, the great white throne judgment. Okay, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whom, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and a place was found for them, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books, plural, written in the books, plural, according to their deeds. Now, a lot of people think that word deeds is talking about sins, but I'm sorry, sin is not the issue. God died for the sins of the whole world, so sins are never the issue, so this is not sins. The Greek word there means good deeds. You see, if you don't receive God's gift to you, which is Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and paid for all of them, then you've got to stand before him on your own merit. And you know what? Your merit don't do it. Right. Your merit will never, never, never get you into heaven. So people who have the idea that if they are good people and they're good, outright they're bad, you know where they're going? They're going to a devil's hell, because that's a lie. Now, they have been given a lie by the world. You know, the world out there gives you all kinds of lies, okay? And so Jesus says, what? You have to overcome the world. If you don't overcome the lies that the world is teaching you, then you're going to fall for this junk, and you're going to go to hell because you did not receive Christ as your Savior. Amen. That's the only way you're going to get to heaven, okay? You're not going to get there any other way, okay? And so your good works are not going to do you any good whatsoever, okay? Now, once you're a Christian, okay, now I'm not getting into that part, but that's the judgment seat of Christ, and that is for good works, but that's after you have received Christ, not before, okay? So the people who have the idea that they can be good people and get to heaven are totally wrong. You cannot get to heaven just being a good person. You must receive Christ. You know what Jesus said? When he stood before people, and he said there are a group of people, a bunch of people that's going to come about, and they're going to say, I did this in your name, and I did that in your name, and I did that in your name. And you know what he says? I never knew you. Why? Because they never accepted him as their Lord and Savior, and he never knew them. Okay? Now, because he didn't know them, then the other book is open. Let's read it up. Okay? The second book that is read, and that's a singular book. Okay. What did we leave off at? Verse 14. No, verse 15. And if anyone's name was not written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. You know why? Because God looked in the book for his name, and his name is not going to be there because he never knew him. And so he's not going to get into heaven. He can't get into heaven because he didn't know him. Now, he's standing there before the judge with all of his righteousness in these books. You see, God keeps a record, apparently, of all the good deeds we do out the whole time. So the library in heaven has to be big because it's full of a lot of good deeds. But when he looks at the good deeds, they don't measure up to what Christ did for you, and you didn't accept him, you didn't believe what he said, and so you're not going to get to heaven. And that's what this chapter is all about. Now, here's something maybe I'm going to give you a little bit new, okay? Because I have a little different intake on when your name goes in the book of life, okay? If you will, turn to Psalm 139. And the preacher closed on this last week. I'm going to pick it back up, okay, where he left off. 139, it's become one of my most favorite passages of Scripture. Verse 13, for you formed my inward parts, you wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me when as yet there was not one of them. Did you get that? My days were written in your book before one of them was ever formed. That's the gracious God that we have. He intends for you to be saved, and so he puts your name in the book of life, and what happens to it if you don't receive Christ is found in Revelation verse 5:5. Let's turn back to the book of Revelation, and then I'm going to really preach. Revelation 5:5. No, 3:5, I'm sorry, 3:5. It's 1 John 5:5. 3:5, okay? He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase or blot his name out from the book of life, and I will confess his name before the Father and before his angel. You see, if you don't ever receive Christ as your Savior, your name is then blotted out. He blots it. He has no choice but to blot out your name. And so he blots out your name. Now read that passage of Scripture, because that passage of Scripture is really, really neat. Okay? David is saying, okay, that the instant you are conceived, you become a human being. Amen. Not later on. Right then, you become a human being. Okay? And he's the one. Do you know you have 28 chromosomes? 28 total. 14 from the father and 14 from the mother. And God is the one who selects the chromosomes which make you who you are. So don't blame God if something's wrong. He intends for you to be that way. Don't you say, wait a minute, I'm different. No, God intended for you to be exactly the way you are. Do you know that it is very possible that one of your genes could be Adam? One of your genes could possibly be from Adam. Did you know that? How long ago, how many generations ago was Adam existed? That's exactly what he's saying. God selects everything about you. He selects what color your eyes are, what color your hair is going to be, how big you're going to be, how little you're going to be. Everything is done by God at the very time of conception. Immediately, you become the human being that you're going to. Now, what did it say he did? Here's a really neat thing. He said he wrote your name in the book of life. How long ago was that? How long ago was eternity past? A long time ago, wasn't it? You know what? You think your parents named you. No, they didn't. God did. He named you before you were ever even conceived, ever even thought about. God named you and put your name in the book of life. Now, is God able to do that? Do you really think God can do that? I do. I know he can. That's the God I serve. And he's the most awesome God that you can ever even dream of. You can't even... What? I can't even say enough words to tell you how awesome God is. That's who we serve. That's the God that we serve. Now, do you think you ought to be able to do that then? Since God did that for you, what should you do for him in return? He gives you everything. He has everything planned out for your whole entire life if you but give your life to him. If you don't give your life to him, then boy, you're out there on your own, okay? You're out there on your own trying to do good work, trying to get to heaven, and nothing's going to get you to heaven, okay? So you must receive him as your personal Savior so that he can say, I know him. I am acquainted with him. I know that person because I remember the very day that he accepted me as his Lord and Savior. Now that's the awesome God that we serve. Okay? Isn't that awesome? That is absolutely awesome. And that's who it is. Okay? That's who God is. And he's able to do that. There is no other person anywhere, or no other whatever you want to say, could ever do that except him. He's the only one possible that could bring all that about. And you know what? He did. He planned all that out before he ever created one living person. Because he knew when he created that first person was going to sin. And everything was going to be messed up. And so he had to figure out a way to make it all right. And he did long before he ever created. He had it all planned out exactly what he had to do. And you know what? He was willing to do it. He was willing to do it. And that's the God. That's the God that we serve. And that gets even hard for me to even talk about it. That is the God that we serve. Let's pray. Oh, gracious and loving Father, how we thank you that you planned all this out, that your Son Jesus was willing to carry it out and go to that terrible cross, take all the sins of the world upon him, and be there almost absolutely alone by himself. We thank you for that. We thank you that he was willing to do that, and we want to praise you. We want to worship you. We want to give you all the thanks and praise that we possibly can. Go with us now. Help us indeed to be the people that you'd have us to be. Have that willingness and that zeal to really serve you with all of our heart and all of our mind, and love you with all of our heart and all of our mind, all of our strength. And then to love others as ourselves, because you love them too. So help us to be that kind of people. We ask it all in your wonderful and precious and wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know what time it is because I don't carry a watch. And so I probably let you out a little early. But that's okay. I think I said enough. So that'll be great. If you'll... Well, how shall I end this? You want to come up and kind of help me out here and let me know?
Won't you stand with me, please, this morning? Thank you, Brother Chuck.
Yeah, thank you.
How amazing.
Yeah.
How amazing the God that we have.
It is.
Matt, come lead us in the invitation after a minute.
Without giving you an opportunity to know personally the God that Chuck's been talking about. That great and awesome God who put you in the book of life. Long